Today is Friday, March 15th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. The UN is under fire for one of their branches' involvement in the October 7th attacks, and they could lose U.S. funding. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating. You can email us, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. We'd love to hear from you as we're getting through the news with Craig here each and every weekday morning, bright and early. Joining me on this Friday episode of the Quick Start Podcast, Billy Hallowell, Tregons Phillips, as we have a ton to get to today, including some incredible details coming out of Haiti, Billy.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Mitch Albom, famous author, he runs an orphanage down there, and he talked to me today about what it was like to flee in the dead of night to get out of Haiti. So we'll get into the ins and outs of that and the state of the kids in his orphanage, what's going on there.
Yeah, it's really getting dire there. And so I'm glad he is out, but a lot to cover there on what's going on in Haiti. Also on the main thing, we're going to take a look at more on the Chosen news from this week. Got an update on how they're moving forward and really a cool initiative and what they're doing to reach people in the midst of this delay that they're having right now. So all that is coming up and more on the podcast today. Don't forget to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts, DC Debrief with John Stolness, which is Friday. New episode drops today. He's rounding up the news in DC on DC Debrief. And Billy's Newsmakers is a new interview each weekday, a full interview. Check that out. You can do so in the description of this podcast. All right. All the housekeeping is out of the way. Let's head over to the news here in 90 seconds. U.S. officials are considering a halt in funding to UNRWA, which is the over-the-staff involvement on the horrific October 7th attacks by Hamas on Israel. Funding from the U.S. and other Western nations are suspended in January pending an investigation. Representative Brian Mast accused UNRWA of channeling funds to terrorism. U.S. is the largest donor. They do a $300 to $400 million annually. And in response, the UN tried to emphasize their broader role in healthcare and education and social services, but this spin will likely have little impact given the mounting evidence implicating UNRWA staffers who took part in the attacks. And the music festival that became the site of a massacre there in Israel will become a tree-lined park, an Israeli memorial place of peace. Given its status as one of the hardest hit areas, you're seeing a lot of people there going there to process their grief, and now it will become an official place for people to visit. And Vice President Kamala Harris prompted backlash from some pro-life groups for her scheduled visit yesterday to a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic in Minnesota as part of her ongoing Reproductive Freedoms Tour. Those are just some of today's top headlines. You can check out those stories and more over at cbnnews.com. Guys, this really struck me, this Kamala Harris visit to a Planned Parenthood. We know that the election now, it's pretty much been wrapped up essentially by former President Trump and Biden have kind of secured all but officially the nominations here for each respective party. And abortion is going to be an issue that Democrats really lean into because they saw success during the midterms previously by relying on this issue. And so it's interesting to see Kamala Harris out here. It's, to me, this was just an eye-opener.
Yeah, well, it's not shocking in that this is what the party has said they're going to do. I mean, if you go back to Hillary Clinton in her book a few years ago, she called abortion sacrosanct, that the party had to lean in on it. And I think, you know, look, this is a flammable issue. They've already seen it help them allegedly in the midterm. So why would they not lean into it? There's not, you can't talk about the economy. You can't talk about the border. You can't talk about any of the major issues right now with any sort of favorable, you know, outtake. So what are you going to do? You're going to focus on the one area where you might have some wins.
Yeah, I think there are very few things that Democrats can confidently talk about right now. And it's interesting, too, looking at where Trump falls on abortion, right? Trump has taken a more middle of the road, less really conservative view of abortion. He still wants to limit abortion, but he doesn't want to outright ban abortion the way a lot of conservatives would like to see him do. He's kind of taken a, I think the reality is that for years we've heard the media that this steady drumbeat that Trump is a radical. Trump's words are radical, but his actions are usually pretty moderate. And I think this is just another example of Trump being actually pretty middle of the road on abortion, which has left people really on both sides of the aisle unhappy. So it's interesting seeing the left move further and further and further left and Trump kind of trying to find a middle ground. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out in, as the election season ramps up.
Yeah, for sure. And given the state of the economy right now with Americans still dealing with high inflation and with high grocery prices and gas prices and trying to buy a house right now is more difficult than ever. So you can expect for those reasons to see a lot of focus on an issue like abortion where Democrats feel like they have an advantage at the polls. So we'll continue, of course, to report on developments there on that issue and monitor it as it goes forward. And right now we're going to head over to the focus story, and Haiti has descended really into chaos. An author, Mitch Albom, was forced to evacuate. So what's the story here?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into why he was, you know, there in a moment, but he was in Haiti when this happened and was watching the developments. He ended up being forced to flee along with 9 other people. He had brought 8 people with him as, you know, volunteers to help out there at his orphanage that he has there. It's called Have Faith Haiti. And when the government collapsed, he was among those Americans trying to find a way out, because immediately, you know, there are no roads you could travel on. There's no airport. There's no way out. And he has these volunteers with him. So he was forced to very literally flee in the middle of the night and get out of there. And, you know, I talked to somebody today who's still there. So there are still Americans who are trapped there, but he was fortunate enough to get out of the country.
And so what is he doing there? I mean, a lot of people, they're familiar with Mitch Albom. Maybe they're not sure what he's doing in Haiti. What is his situation there?
Yeah, so, you know, he's written Tuesdays with Maury, The 5 People You Meet in Heaven. He's probably the most famous author, one of them, if not the most, currently in this country. And so he actually spends most of his time, though, not writing books, but running this orphanage that I mentioned. And this is what he does. I mean, I've talked to him a number of times about this, and a lot of people don't realize, I think it's over 10 years now he's been running this place. He took it over from a Christian pastor who was running it. And he's got 60 children in this orphanage with a staff of 40. And again, it's the bulk of his life. That's his full-time job. That's what he really does, even though people don't know him for that. So he was there doing what he does at the orphanage. And, you know, these children, because of the situation in Haiti, for 3 years have not stepped foot outside of that orphanage, which is just incredible. They already have been living in such dire, you know, circumstances. Now this ups the ante on that. But that's why he was there. And because, you know, keep in mind, he's got 8 people who are with him. There was a group of 10. I think it was his wife and him, and then these other eight. They had not done this before. One of them had never been outside of America before. And so the priority became sort of make sure the kids at the orphanage are going to have what they need, resources, food. They stocked all that up, and then getting these people out of there.
Yeah. I mean, really, really crazy situation, and it's getting worse by the minute. I've already talked about how when I was there, you get that feeling like you're in the Wild West in some of these places. Hopefully, I don't know where Mitch's orphanage is. I kind of hope it's remote enough, because if you're outside of the Port-au-Prince's of the world in the bigger cities, you have a little bit better of a chance at some safety. But just because you're out of the beaten path, you're not right on the highway, the main highway where all these gangs are roaming freely. So hopefully that's the case for those kids there in that orphanage. But to people looking at this thing, Billy, and they're far off, they're here in America, and they see, well, Haiti's devolving into chaos again. You know, why should it matter to them?
I mean, it should matter. It's interesting. He actually addressed this in our conversation, and people are going to be able to watch this on our YouTube page. They can watch it now. But, you know, this is a country that America has a vested interest in. There are lots of Americans there helping. Obviously, he's helping. There are other people there running orphanages. And this is a country that's gone through horrific natural disasters. They've been hit again and again and again. And out of compassion's sake, we should care. But he also reminded me that America ran that country in the early 1900s and helped write the Constitution of Haiti. That we and this is a country that is very literally an hour away from Miami on a flight. This is very close to America in proximity and also in history. And so there's a lot there to care about. But I wanted to address something you just said. You were basically saying, I hope they're far away. He told me, and this is a quote, when we do our nightly devotions, so he's still calling them, communicating with them all day long, you can hear the gunfire in the background. Ooh. And he said, it's such a juxtaposition. It doesn't make sense. You know, they're singing these beautiful songs to God about being grateful for what they have. But out in the street, there's rapid fire, machine gun kind of fire.
Wow.
So they're right there.
Yeah. And look, I can testify to that as well. Again, just from my short time there attending some church services, you know, you're looking at people who are in, this was even in a peaceful time relatively that I was there. And, but it's still abject. I mean, it's poverty like you cannot imagine. Right? People living in little makeshift shacks everywhere. Oceanfront too, right? Places where you'd have million-dollar mansions here in America. Beautiful oceanfront, and it's just lined with tin roof shacks because the poverty is so great there. It's unfathomable. But yet you saw so much joy with these believers that were there and a lot of the people in general. Like, you'd think there'd be just this misery, and I'm sure there is some of that. But by and large, the people that you meet are very nice. They're very friendly and all of that. So that always stuck with me from being there, but this is a whole nother level of chaos that they're facing.
Well, and by the way, he got no help from the U.S. government. They, you know, numerous, we've heard this from a number of people reaching out to the embassy, no help, you know, shelter in place. Are you being shot at? Shelter in place. You know, so it's actually, you know, congressmen, a couple of people in Congress who independently are helping get Americans out. And they had to, just so people understand the level of violence, dead of night, 3 a.m., 2 a.m., have to go out in the middle of the darkness and rush to get into. He said there were 10 of them. They had to cram into a helicopter that had four seats. Mm. So they had to jam into that in the middle of the night before there was gunfire on them, as these gangs are trying to do. So it's just, it's chaos.
It's incredible. I mean, I guess you can call your congressman or woman and tell them, hey, like, let's do something with Haiti. I mean, it shouldn't be up to a couple rogue congressmen and women to do something.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's sad that we live, like y'all said, that a flight to Haiti is so quick and short. You can get there in an hour from parts of Florida. And we have all of these resources, yet we aren't allocating anything toward them. And I'm not saying that we need to spend millions. I mean, I know people have views on, is it America's job, you know, to be the kind of savior who's providing resources to all of these other countries. But certainly as somebody, as a country who's as well off and as successful as we are, and who's as close as we are, we could do a little bit better than leaving our lawmakers to fend for themselves here and there, like popcorn, to go out and try to work with getting the American people, especially back onto our land. So, but yeah, it's important to be prayerful, I think, you know, and we can't understate that enough with situations like this.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And honestly, it's shameful if Congress isn't, and our representatives aren't acting in some way and doing whatever they can to help Americans trapped in a crazy situation. Americans, by the way, who are selflessly trying to do something to help a country that's just been struggling with poverty for years and years and years and years and stuck in this cycle and can't get out of it. So definitely need prayers there and probably some pressure on our local representatives and our national representatives to actually do something here. So appreciate you putting that one on the radar for us here today, Billy, and giving us that information. All right. We are going to head over to the main thing now, and there's more on the Chosen news from this week. We reported on how Dallas Jenkins released a long statement, 15 minutes or so, talking about the legal issues they're going through and the delays they're having. Well, the head of an organization tasked with bringing the Chosen to a billion people across the globe has unveiled plans now to bring season 4 of the hit show to prisons and churches. It's a bold move aimed at sparking gospel conversations and healing. Stan Jantz is chief executive officer of the Come and See Foundation, and he told CBN's Billy Hallowell more about this bold initiative on today's Main Thing.
Obviously, you have seen a lot happen, a lot of lives changed through The Chosen. What have been some of the most incredible accomplishments that your team has had, and maybe uplifting moments as you've been working on this project?
You know, I would say, Billy, the thing that to me that I was not expecting is both the challenge, but also the blessing of the translation process. And again, we've seen in the Jesus film, for example, has been translated in over 1,000 languages. So we've got 600 being the goal. And with 600, 95% of the world will be able to understand those episodes, whether it's being dubbed or subtitled. But as we do this, we go into regions. Once an episode has been translated, we go into regions in that language and we work with subject matter experts. So these are pastors, sometimes they're theologians, who then review the scripts to make sure that it applies, it's contextualized for that region, that culture, that language. And here's what we're finding that was unexpected. It's a challenge for a lot of these subject matter experts. And there we're getting back, we have a whole section too for people can join us in prayer. We have about 60,000 people who have subscribed to pray for Come and See and pray for the work of The Chosen. And we're also getting, stories coming in from our translators. And this is just a couple here. One of our translators was able to flee their country after being in prison for 72 days. This is somebody we're working with in a region. I can't tell you where it is, but I can tell you this. Our Russian subject matter expert, or SME, lost her job but kept volunteering for us. She just received a new job offer. So these kind of stories are coming in from those who are literally on the front line working to translate so that The Chosen is accessible. There's one thing to see it, you know, but if it's not in your language, you've got to kind of work through that. But to see it in your language, either as a dub or a subtitle, it just makes all the difference. And of course, it's the same with Bible translation. We want the Word of God to go out. This is not the Word of God, but it's the story of Jesus going out to the world. And of course, one thing too that we're excited about that's happening is Bible engagement. I mean, I don't know if you found yourself, Billy, but sometimes when I watch an episode, I go, okay, where's that in the Bible? And I'm going to go look it up. We're finding, like YouVersion is finding a real uptick in their, you know, Bible engagement by showing The Chosen on their app. So people want to know, they want to go back to scripture, and that's the inspired Word of God. This is a TV show about Jesus, but the inspired Word of God is where people are going to encounter, you know, through the Holy Spirit, what God is really saying to them. But it's a great vehicle to get them to get to that point and to learn about kind of what happened in that first century as Jesus walked the earth with his followers.
One other big thing that Come and See is working on right now, and this really blew me away, really powerful to see this. Obviously, season 4 has been in theaters, and it's come in batches. People have been able to go and see. It will eventually make its way to streaming, but before it makes its way to streaming, it's going to be at churches and in prisons. Let's talk about the prison piece here. How did this come about?
Well, it came about through a partnership with Prison Fellowship. And Heather Rice Minus, who's the CEO of Prison Fellowship, we worked together to really provide, and they have a network called Floodlight. And they have a network of 300 prisons where they can show this and have not just access permission, but actually to show it in groups. What's really great, and there are some prisons where they can watch on iPads. It's approved, and they can watch just that content. But where they can watch it in community, they're seeing tremendous results. And what we're seeing is, and Heather has said for them, it's giving fresh insight into Jesus' implausible selection of the least, the last, and the lost as leaders of the greatest spiritual awakening the world's ever known. So if you're incarcerated, you're among the least, last, and lost. And so they can see this story. And Jesus talked about, if you visit those in prison, you have visited me. Right. So this beautiful connection, and we all know the great work Prison Fellowship has done. And so we're seeing that this is a tool that they're using to engage these inmates and then as chaplains, then take them through that discipleship journey. And it's just been, we're thrilled. And right now is season 4 is available. And there's a website. And if churches are listening, pastors or even lay people want to get your church involved, it's just comeandsee.net/church. And you'll see the connection there for churches. And also Prison Fellowship, if you're interested in prison ministry, has a way to sign up for that. There's no cost. We do ask that it get licensed and that you don't charge for it. So we want, you know, tickets going out either, you know, from churches or prisons. And just, it's going to be free because we're offering it free. And that's one of our goals too, is to keep this show free for all, that people can watch it and not have to pay for it.
What is your hope? You know, at the end of the day, you know, flash forward, let's say 6 months, and the prison system, many of them have had a chance to maybe the inmates there watch, you know, watch season four. What is your hope for the impact of The Chosen on those prisoners?
Well, you know, and for every prisoner, there's a family, right? There are people that are involved with that person. And I think that the not just what happens in the prison and with that individual, but then it can also reverberate through the communities that they're a part of or have been a part of. And I think that healing that can take place too, of maybe there's been resentment or confusion or whatever kind of happens when someone is incarcerated. And yet this healing that can take place. And again, because it's going to the least, to the lost, to the last, if you will, I think it gives hope. And I think, you know, Billy, I don't know about you, but I think we're in an age right now, a time of great anxiety and just kind of stress that people are feeling. And whether you're behind bars or out in the world, it's just tough right now. And I think a lot of that is fed by, we can see everything on social media. We see it all, everything that's going on in every part of the world. But here's a show that brings the true story of hope. And guess what? Back in that first century, as those disciples were walking around, there was pressure, there was stress, there was an oppressive government, there was opposition. And we see how Jesus handled that and the stress that he had. Season three, we were talking about earlier, is kind of the theme of season three of The Chosen was, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Season four is Jesus bearing his own burdens as the opposition grows and as things start to happen. And yet at the same time, the hope just shines through in such a beautiful way. I'm going to give a spoiler alert for season four, and that is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. What an amazing, joyful miracle. And yet we know from Scripture that intensified the opposition. Here you have somebody doing something. They didn't like what he was doing anyway. So now he raises this very pretty well-known person from the dead. He starts walking around. They're not crazy about that. In fact, if you read Scripture, it says that's when they decided from that point forward that he had to be stopped. And to the point that he had to be put to death. So you see that joy mixed with that tension and then opposition that comes in, and you'll see that in season four. So I'm just kind of setting you up, a little spoiler alert, but I think people kind of knew this was coming in season four, which is the one we're talking about, available for churches and prisons.
Well, really incredible, churches and prisons. And I love what you emphasize there, making sure that it is free. And, you know, Dallas put out a video that explained, you know, the finances and how this is done. And I think one thing that's really important to emphasize is how expensive it is to create a show like this. You know, it costs hundreds of millions of dollars to do it. And, you know, Come and See is there trying to make this free for everyone. And it's incredible to hear that churches and prisons are going to be able to do that. Any final words for us, maybe advice for people who want to get involved in supporting Come and See?
Well, thank you. And again, comeandseefoundation.org is where you can go to find out how you can be a partner, a prayer partner. We have, as I said, about 60,000 people praying, and we've had over 100,000 people, unique people, donate to Come and See, either $10 or, you know, more. So it's how the work continues. And yet we want you to be engaged also as just kind of sharing the journey and getting updates on what's going on. Again, this latest thing with churches in prison, be able to have access to season four, even before it's on the app. It will be on the app soon and then streaming, as you said, later this year. So just pray for us. And if you want to give, we'd love to have you as one of our donors, and just go to the comeandseefoundation.org. And again, if you're part of a church or in a prison ministry, just comeandsee.net/church, and you can find all about that program as well.
Well, I so appreciate you coming on today, joining us, and breaking it all down for us. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate it. God bless.
All right, Billy, thanks for that conversation there. The main thing, really appreciate it. That's going to leave us with time on the Quick Start podcast today. For one last thing, we're going to take a look at Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Yeah, he is eternal, and we can rest in that when everything is chaotic and we can't explain it.
Good reminder that God is eternal and constant in the midst of all the other craziness of this life.
Amen. Good spot to leave it on this Friday edition Quick Start podcast. As always, make sure you're getting on over to cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us, we shall return Monday with more. God bless, everyone. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next time.